comes to, and it's really special for me to give thanks to the following people. First to Danny Laufer for bringing the rabbi here promptly every Tuesday night. And Jeffrey Fader for taking the rabbi back home. Now, if I had plaques tonight, I would give out to the following people who are Machzikei Torah, who help us in the shir. First, Eugene Gluck, Mr. David Cooperman, Chai Arbisfeld, Harry Katz, Avi Freulich, David Lehman. These are the ones who are really the backbones and really help us in many times whenever I need help. I also thank Mr. Milti Nordlich, who provides us with tapes. Anybody who missed the shir, anybody who wants to hear the shir, the second and third and fourth time to get it clear, can get the tapes from Milti. We want to thank Mr. Gluck for using his base medrash. It's always warm here and it's always cool in the winter, in the summer. And I have a story from Rav Chaim Reinreb, told us a story on Shalosh Shudos the other day. When he was in London, in England, was London? The rabbi of the congregation asked the people, you live in such big houses, what are you going to do to the houses when Mashiach comes? You're going to have to leave all these big houses. So I have an etzah for you. What each one of you should do is have a base medrash, a room set aside for a base medrash in your house, and you'll be zochet to be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael, as it says in Megillah Chavtes, Atidim batei knesiyot batei midrashot sheikavu be'Eretz Yisrael. In time when the Mashiach comes, all the batei midrashos, the batei knesiyos, will be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. So we don't have to worry. This base medrash of Gluck's base medrash will be transplanted in Eretz Yisrael. And if we keep our homes as a Torah homes, all of us will be zochet, Metz Hashem, to be transplanted in Eretz Yisrael b'mehera b'yamin. I asked Rabbi Schechter a couple of weeks ago why we say Hadron instead of saying Chazak when we finish a Masechta. Because it would be appropriate to say Chazak, we should be strong and to continue learning. And the answer that he gave me was that when we finish a Gemara, we go ahead and we continue the next Masechta right away, which we did in the Shir. We started saying, we finished the Masechta Be'ah and we started Makkos right away. We'll ask Rabbi Schechter to give the Hadron, and then all of us can go ahead and start the meal.
The theme of the very last piece of Gemara is one of the recurrent themes in the Masechta, all about Muktzah. The Masechta begins with Muktzah, and every five lot Vayta with Muktzah, and the last 10 lines are Vayta with Muktzah. So the very last daf, Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks Akasha, that Rebbe, one of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, has a dispute with the other Tanoim, which animals are Muktzah. One is permitted to shecht an animal on Yantav. On Shabbos, there's no Heter Echel Nevesh, but on Yantav you're permitted to shecht, but you have to be careful that the animal you're shechting should not be a Muktzah Gdika animal. So the Mishnah says, if you have a behemoth that roams around in the Midbar, and you clearly didn't have in mind to shecht that behemoth on Yantav, that animal would be considered Muktzah. So there is a machlokes regarding the details of this halacha. When is a wild animal that's roaming around, the hamster pop into the home on Yontif, when is it considered Muktzah, when is not? When is it Midbarius and when is it called Baisius? And Gemara Pek Takasha, what's the whole issue? But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi doesn't hold from the whole din of Muktzah. Mostly the Rabbi Muktzah, there was a major machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda that kept on being repeated throughout the Masechta. And Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon is the big makel on Muktzah. Shimon says, whatever is Zoichan, whatever is a Kli, is Mucham Me'elav. You don't have to have Hachanas Abav, you don't have to have in mind. So we know, Baboy Menei Reb Shimon, Bar Rebbe, Me Rebbe, Rebbe's son, Reb Shimon, asked the Shiloh of his father, what would the din be if you have Patsili Tamra Le Reb Shimon Ma? What would Reb Shimon say if you have dates that are not fully ripened and you put them in a basket, in a container, that they should warm up and they should ripen, they should become edible, like sometimes we have. You get sometimes an apple, you get a banana that's too raw, it's unripe. So you put it in this basket that it should become ripe. What's the din if in the beginning of Yontif it wasn't edible and then in the middle of Yontif it becomes edible? Should we consider that Muktzah or not? Amalei, So Rebbe answered, no, ein muktzah le Reb Shimon ala grogus tzimukim levad. The only time Reb Shimon will say that there's muktzah by yoichlim is grogus tzimukim, means if you put fruits on the rooftop in order to dry off, in order to develop into, in order to become raisins or dried out figs or dried out dates, something like that. So in the interim period, in the in-between period, it's not a fresh fruit and it's not yet tasty like a raisin. In the intermediate periods, a lot of people would not enjoy eating the food at all. They would consider it a piece of junk. So in such a case, Reb Shimon will agree that if it was in the state of grovus utzimukim at the beginning of Yontif, it would remain muktzah throughout the whole day of Yontif, even though there are people who would eat it in that intermediate stage. So that, since it's a borderline oichel, so Reb Shimon will agree over there that you need hachana. But from the fact that Rebbe is answering his son Reb Shimon by Rebbe regarding the issue of the muktzah story, what would the din be according to Reb Shimon in the case of these dates that are unripened? You see that Rebbe thinks like Reb Shimon. So if Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon that in general there's no din of muktzah on Shabbos or on Yontif, so why does Rebbe take a stand on this topic about these animals that are roaming around in the forest and they come in the middle of Yontif, whether you're allowed to shech them or not? Is it muktzah or not muktzah? But Reb Shimon doesn't hold from the whole problem of muktzah. That's the Gemara's kasha. So that's as far as we got last time. And we left out, we never made the siyum on the Masechta, so we left out the last few lines for now. So the Gemara gives several answers. Ebay is saying, if you want, he can give one suggestion. Maybe these wild animals that are roaming around are also borderline questionable oichlim, because a live animal basically is not oichlim. So maybe Reb Shimon will agree that if you have a live animal that's roaming around, it should also be considered muktzah, because most people will not consider live animals muktzah. It's not mekabel tumah. You see, for purposes of Kabbalah, tumah is not considered oichel. The Iboy Seimer, if you want, he can give a different answer. Lidvarav the Reb Shimon Kamav Leiloi Svirolei. Just because Rebbe answers his son Shaila, his son Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked the father Shaila, what would Reb Shimon say about these unripe dates that are put in the basket? Would Reb Shimon think that it's muktzah not? So just because Rebbe answers the question doesn't necessarily mean that he holds like Reb Shimon. He's saying what Reb Shimon would say. He doesn't hold from Reb Shimon's opinion. He holds like Reb Yudah that there is an issue of muktzah. If you want, you can say no. The Oilam Rebbe really does hold like Reb Shimon. What is he taking a stand on our issue? When the wild animals are muktzah, when not, he holds la locha that it's never going to be muktzah. Here he's taking a stand within Reb Yudah's opinion. Rebbe holds in my opinion ain't muktzah bichlal. There's no din of muktzah at all. I subscribe to Reb Shimon's view. But you hold like Reb Yudah that there is an issue of muktzah. So at least admit to me, the Baisi is saying you should agree with me that even if the animals roam around for 6 months a year, but they come in when it starts to rain, they go out Pesach time and they come back after Sukkot when it starts to rain. So Rebbe argues with the Rabbanim that should be considered Baisi's, that should be considered like domesticated animals, should not be considered muktzah. The Omrulei Rabban, and the Rabban disagrees. They said, no, Midbari is saying, they hold no, then in such a case it would be muktzah. So the Masicht ends off, they're not sure what Rebbe's opinion is, but the Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, the Rebbe holds like the Rabban. We know how we paskin. We paskin on Shabbos, the Pesach Halacha is like Reb Shimon, and on Yontif, the Mechaber paskin is like Reb Yudah, and the Ramah disagrees with the Mechaber, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, but even on Yontif, we also paskin like even on Yom Tov we pass like Reb Shimon that does not do the muktzah. We just machmer on Noila. Hadron aloch mishil and peris is likolah maseches beitza. Hadron aloch maseches beitza v'hadroch alon. Daiton aloch maseches beitza v'daitoch alon. Lo nisnashim aloch maseches beitza v'loich nisnashim inon. Lo b'yalm ha'dem v'lo b'yalm ha'diyosi. Yehi ratzom ilfanecho ar noyal ha'enu v'lo ha'vesein shutehe tarascho umnaseinu b'oilam hazeh. Sehi mono loyal ma po khanina ma po rami ba po pa nachma ba po pa khoy ba po pa ab mori ba po pa rachma po pa rochis ba po pa sucher ba po pa ada ba po pa dor ba po pa harf na ben lahin is dir sa rosh de fino de fitios am khabeis so de nihi ya kulono anachna de tzeren und de tzoy am khabeis israel kulono yoy de shmecha ve lamde sa sech me oy vay sa khakmeni mit sa sech ki yolam hili hili di samin de khukher la man loy vosh yolam leshkach pipedach ki pam khisoni Baruch atah Adonai lamdeni chukecho, amen, 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 selah v'ed. Moedim manachnu lefanecho, Adonai lehenu v'leheh v'zenu, shesamtech hakenu miyoshvi beis hamerush, lo samtech hakenu miyoshvi korona, sh'onu mashkimim v'heim mashkimim, onu mashkimim v'div v'etor v'heim mashkimim l'dvor m'telem, onu amelu v'heim amelu, onu amelu v'mekablim schar, v'heim amelu v'eilu mekablim schar. Anu rotzim mehem rotzim anu rotzim lachai hoilam abo. The heim rotzim leber shachas shenamer v'ator alehim tarid leber shachas an shidomim memirim leyotzi yemem bani eftach toch. Yehi rotzim lofanecho adonai alahai kishem shazartanu v'sayim maseches beitze kein tazreinu lehaskol mesichtus v'svar macherim ulisayimom. ללמוד וללמד ולשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי סמת תורתך ביהבו זכות כל התנאים והמורים ותלמידי החכמים יעמוד לנו ולזרענו שלא תומר שהתורה מפינו ומפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם ויזכאים בנו מיקרו שכוס ובסלח לך תנך איסוך בשוך בכל תשמור עליך והקיצוס היא תשיחך כי בי יהיו בימיך ויוסיפו לך שנוס חיים אורך ימי במין ובשמאל לא שבכבוד אדוני עוזני עמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו והשלום.
גדול ויתקדש מה רבו יום הדיברו דהוד הרפיד לחצתה לאחר המתי הרעת ולחי אל העם ובני כרחצה וישראל ושחלל וחלל לגובה ומקל בוחנת וחרד וארבע ובחרדת ובחנה ושמיה והאחריה ים לפקדוש הבריאה הוא והחוציה להיקרנה בחייהם ימיך ונדחה ובית נשואה תאגות מהגורית יקרו
אמן
אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן אמן Kolben geht in die Dön, der Kolben am Gaffi und Reise, die Basra, den und die Bukhala, die Abasa, die Hehlon, die Hommes und Rabe, die Hinder, die Hinder, die Rache, die Machen, die Hinder, die Zohne, die Machen, Takuna, die Kadum, Ahun, die Schmaya, die Abam, die Omae, die Schumaya, die Abam, die Schumaya, die Bechaim, die Toi, die Marien, die Bekol, die Schuhe, die Ruhe, die Ruhe, die Ruhe,
Everybody can continue eating, and we're going to continue our program. The next speaker for the program, I'm going to call on Rabbi Sadowski to give us some insights and Latara. And usually we call Rabbi Sadowski in Shalosh Shudos, and he's always prepared. He's always on the mark. Always chidushim and always interesting things, and he's always called upon the last minute, and that's what happened today also, because Rabbi Wagner was supposed to speak, and he told me he had Sheva Brochas, and the end result was that Rabbi Wagner had to go to Eretz Yisrael because his father was Nifter. Rabbi Sadowski was head of the Vada Rabbanim of Queens for the last 29 years. All of us know that the Vada Rabbanim is such an important institution, actually, that we all know that we can go to any store and has the Vada Rabbanim sign on it. We know that it's kosher and we don't have to question it. We have many other signs out in Queens, and they're all questionable, but we know that the Vada Rabbanim, Maim Echutin, Shlomo Appel, together with Rabbi Sadowski, has been doing a great job, and we're really thankful to them. Rabbi Sadowski has been the rabbi of Forest Hills, Forest Park Jewish Center for the last 44 years. He looks much younger, of course, but he must have got smicha very early. Anyway, we'll call on Rabbi Sadowski to say a few words to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Landsman. Rishus, Moreno, Rabbi Goyen, Shechta, and all of the Chevra Shas. Dr. Landsman mentioned before the Maima, Hinei Matu, Hu Manoim, Shevasachim Gam Yachad. And I once said the word Gam seems to be superfluous. Sheva Sachim Yachad. Brothers sit together. It's an Eis Simcha. And I said that unfortunately, not always are brothers of the one mind. Not always do they may be together physically, but not necessarily emotionally and spiritually. That's a special simcha when Shevet Achim, when they're sitting together physically, but Gam Yachad, they also have a spiritual kinship. And what brings you together this evening certainly embraces that concept. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has outlined for us the goal of a Jew. It's Kedusha. V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. Be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy people, a holy nation. The Ramban comments, goy kadosh l'dofka bo, to cleave, to cling to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which of course means through Torah and mitzvos. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with a famous medrash in Eicha Rabbah, where the medrash says, "In Yom HaLachodom Yesh Chochma Bagoyim." Someone says to you that there is wisdom among the nations of the world, among the Gentiles. Tamin, you can believe it. And the Gemara brings a pasuk to prove it. Then the Gemara goes on, or the Medrash goes on to say, but in Yom HaLachodom Yesh Torah Bagoyim, Al Tamin. There's Torah amongst Goyim, don't believe it. Obviously there's Chochma in the non-Jewish world, but is it really true that there is no Torah, never has been? We know of instances of Goyim who are well versed in Torah, even disputations between Jews and Goyim. One of the first translations into English of the Mishnah, and not a bad translation either, was done by Reverend Herbert Danby, who I think was a professor of religion at Yale, if I'm not mistaken. So there is Torah. There are Goyim who knew, who studied Torah. So what does the Medrash mean, Al Tamei? Don't believe it. Well, you know that the Chazal on Chekdes Hagdola instituted brachas for every particular occasion in life. And one of the things they instituted, and recently we've had reason to see these brachas recited, are brachas which are called Birchas HaChachamim, brachas for sages, for wise people. And there's an Afka Mina, there's a distinction between the Chachamim of the Goyim and the Chachamim of Kal Yisrael. L'mashal, if you see a Chacham, a Talmud Chacham, so the bracha is Shecholak Nichachmoso Li'Reyav. We laud the Rebbeinu Shleilam who has shared his wisdom with those who stand in awe of him, those who fear him. On the other hand, you see a Chacham of the Goyim, so the bracha that you make is Shenosan Nichachmoso Lebos of Adam. The Rebbeinu Shleilam gave of his wisdom to a flesh and blood human being. Another example is if you see a Melech B'Yisrael, a king, today would be a government official, a president, a prime minister. So the bracha is Shecholak Mikvodo Li'Reyav. We thank the Rebbeinu Shleilam who shared his kavod with those who fear him. On the other hand, if you see a melech, or a number of years ago, the Rav HaRoshi of Eretz Yisrael, at the time, I don't remember who it was, greeted the Pope, and he greeted them with the bracha, Shenotza Mikhvodo Lebos of Adam, who gives of his kavod to a flesh and blood human being. Now there is a glaring contrast between these two brachas. In the case of a Chacham Yisrael or a Melech Yisrael, the words are Cholak and Li'Reyav, to share with those who fear. The Goyim, the bracha is Nosan Lebosov Adam. What's the difference between Cholak and Nosan and Yereyav and Bosav Adam? The Chazal, of course, have taught us the difference between Briya and Yetzirah, creation and formation. The difference is that Briya is Yesh Miayim, something from nothing, Kriatio ex nihilo, as the Greeks put it. And Yetzirah is Yesh Miyesh. The Bnei Yisraelim created Chome HaKadmoni, the original matter, that was Briya, and then subsequently, Ofam in Adoma, he took existent matter and created the human being. On a practical level, my nafkemina, whether something was created Yesh Miayin or was created Yesh Miyesh, what difference does it make? So the Bala Tanya, the Ladiyarov, the founder of the Lubavitch dynasty, explained as follows. He said, when it comes to Yetzirah, a carpenter makes a podium, makes a bookcase. When he finishes his job, this podium is going to remain what it is. The bookcase will remain what it is. He finished his job, the furniture will stay exactly as he created it. It doesn't need the Yotzer anymore. Not so when it comes to Beria. Yesh Me'ayin, the Yesh, the existence of the Yesh only lasts so long as the creator of that Yesh maintains it and keeps it in existence. And that's what we say every day. I'm a Chadish Betuva B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'asa B'reishis. The Rabbani Shlalom, why does it have to do every day? Repeat, recreate the world. Because otherwise the world would revert back into the Tohu V'vohu, the Ayin, the nothing that it was before. That's a fundamental difference between Yetzirah and Beria. In a similar sense, that is the distinction between Nosan and Cholak. When you give something to somebody, the relationship between the two people ends there. I give you a matana, or I sell you something, you buy it, you walk out, finished. We have no further relationship between one another. Cholak implies an ongoing relationship. It doesn't end with a particular act. So when it comes to the brachas for goyim, the Chazal said, Nosan, God gave, but there's no further relationship between the recipient and the Borei Olam and the Creator who gave the Chokhmah or the Kavod. Not so when it comes to Klal Yisrael. Asher Cholak, the relationship continues. It's an ongoing, a symbiotic relationship between the two. And that's why it's not just a bus of a gum, it's Liyareo, because the relationship continues. And I think that we allude to that in the Hadran as well. What do we say in the Hadran? Hadran Allah, we will return to you, Mesechus, in this case, Beya, the Hadroch Alon, and you in turn will return to us. We talk about Daitan Allah, we think of you, but Datoch Alon, and you think of us. So what are we saying? We finished the Mesechta, but that doesn't mean our relationship to that Mesechta ends. We hope to come back to it. We hope to continue to chazer over certain parts of it. To when we learn halacha at Shulchan Aruch, we'll refer back to it. We don't end the relationship just because we ended the Mesechta. And so, I salute all of you who participated in the Shia and who were zeicher to finish two Mesechtas, apparently, Gittin and Beyer, from what I understand. And that neschus of your Torah and mitzvahs, that the Rabbeinu Shloim will say, Daton Olai, because you thought of me, Dati Aloch. Rabbeinu Shloim will respond to us as well. And hopefully, the next time we meet for the Siyum of a Mesechta, it should be when there is Shalom for Achenu B'nei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And that should be the Meher of your main upon me.
Amen. As I said before, as always on target and always Dvar Torah that you can take with you. We're very fortunate in our Shia that not only we have Talmid HaChamim in the Shia, but we also have a Chazan. A Chazan of the fourth wash of the Washington Heights Congregation, Leon Kahn. He's the president of the Cantorial Council of America. I know we're living now through very harsh times, and our resolve is so much more important, and our unity towards Israel should be much more strong. And hopefully, with the singing, we have a form of tefillah to our Kaddish Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillahs.
Good evening, Bishus, Rav Shechter, Rav Slodowski. A couple of weeks ago, can you hear me? Dr. Lanzman asked me if I would sing a couple of songs and also chazanis. So I thought to myself, there's some people, they don't even want to hear chazanis on Shabbos, chal v'chom on a Tuesday night, the chvesnish. So then I was thinking, what would be appropriate for a siyum or the times that we live in today? So some of the songs that revolve around Torah, a few fast mekunim like Torah, 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 we all know what that is. So there is actually one, and I think we'll start with something that we all know, and those of you that go to shuls and still maintain congregational singing, hopefully you will all join along with me. Eitz Chaim Hi Machazik Imba Tonight we're allowed to repeat. Sermon now, right?
It's coming.
I was thinking also what would be appropriate. A few weeks will be Pesach. We say Hallel. We say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. We thank Hashem. So tonight we also thank Hashem that we have a Gadol like Rav Shechter to give us Shir every Tuesday night. In fact, the other day I was telling someone This coming Tuesday night, we have a Siyum Shir in Forest Hills. And so he says to me, Rabbi Shechter lives in your neighborhood in Washington Heights. Doesn't he give a Shir in Washington Heights? You have to go to Forest Hills. So he said, except for giving a Shirim at Yeshiva, that's it. And so maybe one day, I don't mind coming to Forest Hills. And I also like to take this opportunity to, if I may, to thank also Danny Laufer and Avi Feder for taking me along in the ride as well, and we're privileged to hear the post here in the car sometimes too. So I'd like to sing in Hallel the following, and if you know it, please, you sounded very well, I could use a choir. Mashiv Lashem
we have. A couple of weeks ago, while we're sitting in Shir, Chemia Kleiman sits next to me and he says, you know, I think it's time for us to make a Siyum. Chemia Kleiman, as all of you know, is Magid Shir in Queen Jewish Center. I think he probably never misses a Shir. The only time he misses a Shir is when he's in Eretz Yisrael. All these years, he's been always a great supporter of Rabbi Shechter and a good neighbor, a good friend to be next to. And I asked him to say a few words to before Rabbi Shechter says a few words. So, we'll ask Rabbi Chemia Kleiman, please.
Actuality, he asked me to introduce Rabbi Shechter in the beginning. But since Rabbi Shechter already made the Siyum, but at first I thought that Rabbi Shechter really doesn't need an introduction, and so it turns out that Dr. Lenzman introduced him. But and then I thought, instead of giving an introduction, I'll show a sample of what we learned. Since we learned several Masechtos, the Shabbos, the first one, I think since 1986, I think this year is going on. 84?
Alright, but anyway, I figured I'll give a sample shiur of each mesechta. But then I thought I'll wind up like Yenner Chazan, who came to, he sang, and then he kept on repeating. Finally, the Gabbai came over to him and says, here's the key, after you finish, you lock the door. So I decided that's not appropriate to do it. One of the mesechtes that we learned was the mesechta Brochus. Mesechta Brochus, you have at the end of the mesechta, the Samach Gimel with Beis, the world has a braise, Tun Rabonim, Keshenechnesu Rabbeinu LeKerem BeYavne. When the seems after the originally Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai went to Kerem BeYavne, sat up the yeshiva, then they went to Usho, then Ram Gamliel's grandchild reconvened the Sanhedrin in Kerem BeYavne, and all the Chachumim came there to join him. So the Rule says, Hoy Shom Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yossi. So among the Tanuim, among the Chazal that came, there was Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Lezer, Benoishe, Rabbi Yossi Aglira. They were the ones who joined a group of Chachumim who came into Kerem BeYavne to set up their yeshiva. And Poshu Kulom Bechvoido Shelachsanya. All of them said, you know, at that time they didn't have Hilton hotels or Plaza hotels, so they rather have to stay. So they gave thanks to the people who accommodated them in their houses to be able to stay there to learn. Here, the young Israel has been our Achsanya for 22 years. From this year, 22 years. I know, Master, I didn't make tape at the beginning. and we want to thank the Hanhola of the Young Israel of Forest Hills for giving us a beautiful place where we can sit and learn Torah every Tuesday night. We come out the nights here to learn also. Afterwards, the Gemara says, Pusach Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol HaMukon, Rabbi Yehuda, who was called the first speaker in every place, and this is another Masech, the Shabbos, which we learned, explains the Daf Lamed Gimel, why he was called the Rosh HaMedabrim, and he said the following. Moshe Yikach Es HaHoel, Moshe took the tent, and we just read this in Kisiso, Benoto Loi Mechutz LaMachneh, and he moved it outside from the camp. And then he says, "Vaho, you call me Vakash Hashem, Yetze El Oyel Moyed. Whoever would seek Hashem will go out to the Oyel Moyed." The question is, and I think Rabbi Yehuda also had the same question, why does it say, "Vaho, you call me Vakash Hashem, Yetze El Oyel Moyed"? Moshe Rabbeinu took his tent and went out there. It should have said, "Call on Vakash Toyri Yetze." So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Elul said that when people are willing to leave their houses and move away from where they live and go someplace else to learn, where there is a Shia and there is a great Rav who gives the Shia there, then he's not just considered a Yotze Lilma Torah who learns Torah, but he's referred to a Mevakesh Hashem, a searcher for Hashem. We also hear every Tuesday night, a lot of us come home, you're tired, you had a bad day in the office or a good day in the office, but still know, Pushadati Eskutonti Achucha Al Beshenu, you took off your jacket, your tie, and have supper, Chatzli Esragla, put on the slippers, Achucha Al Beshenu, why should I put it on now? I'll sit already home, and I'll learn a little bit, fall asleep while I sit on the couch. Or maybe, but still, you know, year in and year out, you have here a group of people who have leave their houses and they come here to participate with Rav Shechter and hear the shiurim that Rav Shechter gives us every Tuesday night. The shiurim has helped a lot. I know I myself have given shiurim in Seches Beyer, and I bought this Fat Gemurah, which has over the Mechoshim in it. And still, you know, whenever I came to the Shia,
The Rav Shechter gave a shirim bay. I always learned something new. Oh, I learned that something that I learned wrong shot sometimes, and I got it corrected. Or I was able to find out that even though I had such a fat book, Gemara, I still know missed out a lot from the learning. Many times I would visit, especially with Rav Suna on Shabbos, and we would discuss some of the nyonim many times about the learning of what we learned the past week, an Indian, and he was always amazed to tell me, he says, I don't know, I learn also, I can't get into that depth that we get from Rav Shechter. It's a special Birkas Arishem. You have, in every field, you have people. I mean, I used to be an engineer in the company. And when I had to check out a circuit, I had to go point to point. I couldn't find the mistake. There were some engineers there that I went over to, Max Zimmet, and I said, I know, I can't find what's wrong. He came over, in 5 minutes, he found what's wrong. So I gave up, not to become an engineer. I went into theoretical physics instead of being an engineer. We have also in Torah also some people of Siyata Dishmaya who, when they learn something, they get the whole thing in the Rav Zichron Lebracha was like this, and we have the Sriya to learn with Rav Shechter, who has also the Siyata Dishmaya, and it doesn't come easy. I mean, I don't sit a whole summer up in the mountains there and sit and learn. Rav Shechter sits a whole summer and sit and learn. And so, but it doesn't always help sitting a whole summer and learning. It also has to have Siyata Dishmaya. I also want to use one word that, since we use it, we have to do something from Vayakhe Pekuda also. The Rav Zichron Lebracha said that by when people came to be Misnarev, to bring presents to the building of the Mishkan, the Torah describes two types of people who would bring to the Mishkan. And it says in the Torah, Ve'yuvoru kol, I have to have the glasses. The Torah describes two people. One person is Nesoa Libo, who brought to the Beis HaMikdosh, and another person is Nodvo Ruchoi, who brought to the Beis HaMikdosh an Edova. So he said, certain people had an approach when they heard they're going to build a Mishkan, they got so involved, and they went and they gave more than they could possibly give. They saw a little, their heart was jumping in them to try to do for the Mishkan the maximum that they can do. Other people, whatever they asked, an Edova, they brought an Edova, but there was not an Esau Elibo. It's not only like this also, it's also the same thing with a Rebbe. You have some teachers who give a Shia, not Varuchoi, they give you the Shia, the land, the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos on the blot, and it's a good Shia. But then there are other people who Esau Elibo, who go into the Shia and they give the Shia not just what is on the daf, but the whole wide arena, the whole going into other areas which are related to the Shia, the Shoinim, Achoinim, bringing Divrei Torah from the Rav, which is pertaining to the Shia. And for this, we would like to thank Rav Shechter very much for doing this. I just want to end off with a Gemara in the Dorah Lama Tres. The Gemara says in the Gemara Lama Tres a very fascinating Mame. Loinitne Torah Eilu LaMoshe LaZaroi. The Torah was given only to Moshe and his children. Who Chenemar Sov Lachu Psol Lachu. And Moshe Nuak Bo Tovas Atova Ain Venosno LeYisrael. And Moshe was such, had a Torah sign, was very paginin, and he didn't want to keep the Torah for himself. And he gave it to Gal Yisrael. For all of Akrosif Oimer, and on Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk in Mishnah says, Tov Ayin Hu Yevorech. The one who has a good eye should be blessed. In our Shiurim, Bibur Hashem have, Rav Shechter gives us the Shiurim, with a toif ayin, and I want to give him a brocha. He should be able to continue giving to the shiurim. I'll be a scoil tzedek from here. Remain the umar.
Very nice. I neglected to welcome Rabbi Ginsburg. Wasn't here early in the program, so I want to welcome Rabbi Ginsburg, who's my rabbi. We daven every morning together and Shabbos, and I welcome him to the scene. I'm going to call on Rabbi Schechter to give us a short, not a long shiur, an hour and a half, because we don't have the time anymore, but a short lecture. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everybody who came to participate in the Simchas HaSiyum, those who come every week and those who come once in a while. Every little bit of the participation helps. It's a different kind of a Shia, as those who come can attest to. It's really a big chavrusa that everybody works everything out together. Rabbi Suna always, Chaim Lebrach, always used to help out, and Chemia Kleiman always helps out. Mr. Spiegel Schlieffe used to come for many years. Everybody used to help out and they say all the things from Rav Soloveitchik and Rishon and Achrayim. Everybody, it's one big chavrusa, and that's why it's such there's such a yedidus in the whole group. I was thinking about reviewing the Masechta and running through the highlights of the Masechta, but then this afternoon I started to look over the Masechta. There are too many highlights. Just to list off the topics that we covered would take a very long time. One of the major themes of the Masechta is all about Muktzeh. We discussed an awful lot about Muktzeh. We discussed a lot about Malachas Shabbos and Malachas Yontif, what constitutes a Malacha. It was important, we spoke a lot what Yontif, there's a special din, you're permitted to cook food and to carry food ahead to Eichel Nefesh. Then there's a discussion of Machshire Eichel Nefesh, what's called Machshirin and what's called Eichel Nefesh. We spent an awful lot of time on that. We studied in the middle of Beitz a lot of dinim about Hakrovas Korbonas. Korbonas that are brought on Yontif, the Shalmei Chagiga with the Oilas Riyah, another inyanim of Korbonas. I realized we spent a lot of time about Kabbalah's Tumma, Tumas Kalim, we had a lot about Hafroshas Challah, big thesis on Daf Tes. We spent a lot of time about Kisui Hadam in the first parak, when you shecht Chayiv Yoif, there are laws of Kisui Hadam, much of which was covered in the beginning of Beitza. We had a lot of discussions about Bitul Beroi, when an Isa falls into Heter, when is it Batul Beshishin, when is it Batul Beroi, when is not Batul Beroi. An awful lot of discussion on that. We discussed the famous topic of Breira, Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. The main sugyas in Masechta, one of the main sources is in Beitza, it's in Gittin and Shabbos and some of the other places. One of the main sources is in Masechta's Beitza. We even had a lot of discussion about the laws of Shatnas in the end of the first parak in Beitza. It's really it's a small Masechta, only 35 blot, 40 blot then, 40 blot Gemara. But we covered quite a range of topics. So for discussion tonight, I picked out the topic of Erev Tavshilin. Because this coming Yontif Pesach, Habolein Eletaiva, we who live in Chutz Laaretz will be observing Yontif on Thursday and Friday, and we'll have to make an Erev Tavshilin for Shabbos. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael will only have Yontif on Thursday, so there's no Erev Tavshilin. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very rare that they ever make an Erev Tavshilin. Much more rare than here. Here in America, it's pretty common. That sounds very rare that they ever make an Erev Tavshilin. Yeah. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak in Beitza records this takonas chachamim. It's only needed mid the rabbanim. Min haTorah, one is permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos even without any Erev Tavshilin. It's only a takonah mid the rabbanim. And Mishnah records a dispute between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel regarding the details of what was involved in the Takanas Chachamim. To what extent do you have to make an Erev Tavshin? So the Taisus says, Halacha Lamaisa, the way we are practice is that we set aside, most people set aside a hard-boiled egg with a matzah. Why? Because Taisus says the practice is that you need pas bitavshil. If you plan to bake bread, cake, or cookies, or matzahs, or whatever, then you need pas. Then you have to have something baked in advance. And if you plan to cook food, I think my wife never bakes any cake or cookies on Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, on Chalamay, but on Yom Tov, she never bakes any challah, cake, or cookies. So strictly speaking, when we make an Erev Tavshilin, there's no need to put away the matzah. If you don't plan to bake anything, then you don't have to have the matzah. But if you plan to cook, you plan to cook water, you plan to cook soup, you plan to cook chicken, whatever, then you have to put away the tavshil. So people usually put away, that's traditionally, put away a matzah with a hard-boiled egg. And when we studied the Mishnah, we studied the Gemara, we found out that that's not really correct. That's not really right to put away. You take a matzah from a box of matzahs that was baked half a year ago, it was baked a long time ago, and then you make a hard-boiled egg a couple of days before Yom Tov. So that's not really right. You're supposed to have pas with tavshil that was baked. L'chatchila should be baked on Erev Yom Tov. L'chatchila should be baked l'shem Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says maybe even l'shem Erev Tavshil. Maybe the l'chatchila requires it should be baked specifically for the Erev Tavshilin. And then we saw the Chayyadam, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that Chayyadam holds that a hard-boiled egg is not good enough. You have to have a Meichel that's miyuchad for Shabbos, something that Shabbos did. We eat hard-boiled eggs all week long. We eat hard-boiled eggs just as much in the weekdays as we do on Shabbos. It doesn't indicate anything Shabbos did. If you would have a gefilte fish, that's taka miyuchad for Shabbos. So that makes sense to make an Erev Tavshil instead of taking a hard-boiled egg with a matzah. The matzah you don't really need because you don't. Most people, I don't think, bake cake or cookies on Yom Tov or Shabbos. And if you put aside, if you have a gefilte fish that was taken cooked on Erev Yom Tov, l'shem Erev Tavshil for Shabbos, that's the lechatchila. So the Mishnah records the machlokes between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the Erev Tavshil. So the Mishnah and the Brice and the Gemara have different versions exactly what was the machlokes. One version of the machlokes is that Beis Shammai require that you should put away Shnei Tavshilin, and Beis Hillel say Tavshil Echad is sufficient. And we pass from Tavshil Echad, one gefilte fish, you don't need a gefilte fish with a hard-boiled egg. So that's one version of the Machlokes. Is it necessary to have Shnei Tavshilin, or is it good enough with Tavshil Echad, and we pass from one Tavshil? Another version has it, no, that even Beile Beis Shammai, Beile Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that you really need Shnei Tavshilin, is not the accepted opinion. Everybody gives really neat Shnei Tavshilin, but the Tanoim, the Shammai Bisil argue, what if you have Dag Ubeitza She'olov? If you cooked fish and you had egg together with the fish and all cooked together in the same pot, is that treated as one Tavshil or is that treated as two Tavshilin? On the one hand, it was all cooked together in the same pot. Let's say if you have gefilte fish with carrots. So you cook it all together at the same time, but it's Shnei Tavshilin, but it's Bigdei Rachas. So the Gemara has one version, that's the Machlokes Bisham and Bisil. But we don't pass on that. We pass on that one Tavshil is enough. So remember that we discussed at that time when we learned the beginning of the second Perek, where does this idea come from? What's the Ein Fal to require Shnei Tavshilim? Why should the Bishamai say you need Shnei Tavshilim? One version has it that even the Bisil will agree you have to have Shnei Tavshilim. What's that for Shnei Tavshilim in preparation for Shabbos? So we pointed out that there is a din on Erev Tisha B'Av by the Suda HaMafseke is that you're not permitted to have too elaborate a meal. You're not permitted to have Shnei Tavshil. Our practice is we don't even have one Tavshil. We just have you wash and you have a hard-boiled egg and that's all. So the Gemara says you're permitted to have a hard-boiled egg as one Tavshil, one cooked Michael, but you're not permitted to have Shnei Tavshil. Why? Because Shnei Tavshil means you have a two-course meal. So that's symbolic, that's representative of a fancy meal. So that's apparently what the Bisham and the Bisilal are referring to over here. You should prepare a meal in advance. Before Yom Tov, you should already prepare an elaborate, fancy meal, a Kavod Shabbos. What says the fancy meal? A two-course meal of two macholim that are both cooked. Shnei tavshil halacha l'maisa, we don't pass along. If you pass the one tavshil is enough. But the idea that some of the Tanoim held that you have to have Shnei tavshilin is because the Shnei tavshilin represents a Suda Hashuva, a two-course meal. And I remember that at the time we mentioned that there is a Mishnah in the end of Psochim where the Mishnah requires that on the Kaira, on the Seder plate, you should have Shnei Tavshilin. we have a hard boiled egg and a zroa and a broiled zroa. So what is this all about? What is the Shnei Tavshil and all about? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What is it supposed to represent? So the final conclusion in the Gemara is that these Shnei Tavshilim were instituted after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Echad Zecha LePesach, Echad Zecha LaChagiga. That Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, we're missing these two Karbonis. We don't have the Karbon Pesach. We don't have the Karbon Chagiga Sarba Osa that was normally brought every year on Erev Pesach. In addition to the Chagiga that's brought on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, there was another Chagiga brought on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So to make a Zecha to these two Karbonis, so we have the two Macholim on the plate. So according to that position, that's the final conclusion of the Gemara, that the Shnei Tavshilim were instituted after the Churban HaBayis, Echad Zecha LePesach, Echad Zecha LaChagiga. So you don't have to eat the Tavshilim, they just sit there, and you tell everybody, you have to explain what it's all about. You have to explain the Shnei Tavshilim, Zecha LePesach, and Zecha LaChagiga. But before the Gemara came to this conclusion, the Gemara thought that it was not Zecha LePesach, Zecha LaChagiga. They thought that the Shnei Tavshilim was not instituted after the Churban HaBayis, but there was always a need for Shnei Tavshilim. So what did they think in the Hava Amina? What was Shnei Tavshilim all about? So the Pashtus is that the Shnei Tavshilim was a Suda Chashuva, a two-course meal, and you have to eat the Shnei Tavshilim, not stop to look at it and to say what it represents. No, you should have soup and you should have fish, or you should have fish and you should have chicken or whatever, flesh. The Korban Pesach Mestama counts as one Michael, one Tavshil, then you have another Tavshil. In addition, the Shnei Tavshilim represents the Suda Hashuva. The Gemara in Psachim, usually when we learn, as Rabbi Kleiman just mentioned, when we learn, we try to see how this Din in the Gemara compares to similar ideas that appear in other Masechtos, like over here, the Shnei Tavshilim. And the Mishnah and Beitzah are related to the Shnei Tavshilim in the end of Tainus regarding the Sudas. The Suda Hamafsekas and Erev Tisha B'Av, and it seems to relate to the Hava Amina of the Gemara in Psachim, the Shnei Tavshilim on Leil HaSeder on Pesach night. So when we studied this topic, when we learned the Sugya of Erev Tavshilim, we discussed at length many times over. We discussed the dispute of the Amoraim and the Gemara in Psachim regarding the din of Erev Tavshilim. The Gemara says clearly that the putting aside of the food on Erev Yontav, the Kovod Shabbos, is only a takonim de rabbanim in Atar, it's not needed. There's no pasuk that says a word about Erev Tavshilim. This is all a takonim de rabbanim. So on the level of the Raisa, min HaTorah, why is it permissible to cook on Yontav for Shabbos? The Heterech al Nefesh means you cook on Yontav for Yontav. Are you talking? What kind of business is it that you cook on Yontav for Shabbos? Where's the Heterech al Nefesh? So the Gemara in Psochim has the discussion. Tosis and Beitzah keeps on referring to that Gemara Psachim. So we spent a lot of time on that. So the Gemara in Psachim in Elo Avram has a machlokes, a dispute between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. What is the heter on the level of the Raisa to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos? So Rabbi says that Oichal Nefesh on the level of the Raisa doesn't depend on what your kavana is. Let's say we're having a bar mitzvah, we're having a Sheva Brachas in another month, and the balabasta cooks and bakes on Yontif, and she's putting everything away in the freezer, and we're going to eat it next month. So Rabbi is of the opinion that min hatera, that's permissible, even though the kavana of the person who's doing the cooking and the baking is that it's not going to be, absolutely not going to be eaten at all today on Yontif. You're putting away in the freezer to eat it next month and next year. So Rabbi says min hatera does make a difference. It all depends on the theoretical possibility. If there are so many Yidin who live in the community that if they would come, I'm not interested, I'm not so friendly with all the people. But if there's so many people, so many Yiddish people in the community, that if I were to invite everyone to my home on Yom Tov, they would be able to eat up all of the food. I didn't make so much food. I made for 25 people. So that 25 Jews in the neighborhood would come if I'll invite them. So the theoretical possibility of having all of the food eaten up on Yom Tov is called Oichal Nefesh. You don't have to have kavanas agarva. You don't have to have the intention of the one who's doing the cooking and the baking to label the case as one of Oichal Nefesh. Oichal Nefesh sets itself up automatically because of the circumstances, because of the situation, since there is a possibility to eat everything up on Yom Tov. So that's the opinion of Rabbah, that Minatur, most of the Rishonim accept the opinion of Rabbah, that Minatur, it's permissible to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. There's no need for Erev Tavshil in Minatur, because theoretically, all the food could be eaten up today on Yom Tov. Rav Chizda disagrees with Rabbah. He says, there is no such din. No. What? The Chanefesh sets itself up automatically because of the theoretical possibility that guests would come and eat up all the food. That's not enough. You have to have Kavanas HaGavra. The person is doing the cooking has to have in mind that the food is going to be eaten today. So Nu HaYitochem, but he's cooking the food on Yom Tov Shabbos. So how is it permissible to cook it? So he says, no, Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov. If you cook today, Shabbos next to Yom Tov, Rashi explains, is Kedusha Achas. So the Shabbos is considered a continuation of the Kedusha Sayyim of Yom Tov. That's how Rashi explains in the Gemara Pesachim. So when you cook on Yom Tov for tomorrow, if I'm cooking on Yom Tov today for next week's Shabbos, so that doesn't blend in together, but it's Shabbos next to Yom Tov. So since there's a hemshech between the two, so Rav Chisda thinks that Shabbos next to Yom Tov constitutes Kedusha Achas. So when you cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, that's considered cooking today for today. It's not today on the calendaric sense, in the calendaric sense of today, but it's today the same Kedusha Sayyim, because Shabbos for Yom Tov constitute one Kedusha Sayyim. The Gemara and the Mefarshim on the Gemara point out that there are many differences lahalacha between these two opinions of Rabbi and Rav Chisda, and one of them was brought out by the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says that in the area of Poland where he lived, the practice was that whenever they made an Erev Tavshilin like this year, you have 2 days Pesach, Thursday, Friday, then you have Shabbos, so that Shabbos the Kehila has to daven early. You have to be Mekabel Shabbos very early as possible. Right after Plaga Mincha. Vosepes, whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, you have to daven very early on that Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham explains why. Because most of the Rishonim, most of the Poskim hold l'halacha that the heter to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos is based on Hoyel. So that's good if I cook a ton of food on Yom Tov and all the guests, all the Yidden from the neighborhood can come and eat up the food. So theoretically, the theoretical possibility of having all the food eaten up by Yidden on Yom Tov labels this act of cooking as a heter Echol Nefesh. What if I'm going to put up a kettle of water a minute before licht benching? The Baal Bastur is going to bench licht at the end of the day, second day Yom Tov, Friday afternoon. He's going to bench licht for Shabbos. He's going to put up a kettle, a big samovar of water, and it doesn't even begin to cook until Leil Shabbos. So the malacha of cooking is done on Yom Tov, but the hanor of drinking the water cannot be on Yom Tov. It's not going to get cooked. The whole big samovar is not going to get cooked until Leil Shabbos. So then it comes out you did a malacha on Yom Tov. And there is no possibility of getting hanor from the malach on Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham says, so then there's no heter at all to cook such food. So you have to always be careful to cook the food for Shabbos, even when you made the Erev Tavshilin. You have to cook the food for Shabbos so far in advance of Shabbos that theoretically you would have been able to eat that food on that day of Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham says, in order to encourage the women to cook the food early enough, so the minig used to be that they used to daven Ma'ariv early as possible after the Plaga Mincha. So everything was an hour earlier. So the women would have to bench lift an hour earlier. And they had to put up the kettle of water, put up the chicken, everything. Whatever they wanted to cook the challah, they would make everything an hour earlier. So even though they were Mekabel Shabbos, they were Mekabel Shabbos an hour earlier, but it's still Yom Tov. So theoretically, they could have eaten the food then, during that period of time, but it's before Shkia. It's already Kedusha Shabbos has been accepted, but it still is still has a Kedusha Yom Tov on the day. So that's his explanation for this minhag. When we learned this Gemara in the beginning of the second parak about Erev Tavshilin, so we learned on the level of the Raisa one is permitted to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos even without an Erev Tavshilin. But the Rabban and the Chachamim insisted, no, you should put away the Pasim Tavshil to make an Erev Tavshilin. So what is the idea on the level of the Rabban? What is that all about, the Erev Tavshilin? What do you need that for? So the Gemara has a dispute, a machloika samurai. What is the Erev Tavshilin supposed to represent mid Rabbonim? What is it supposed to represent? So the Gemara had a machloika samurai. One Amora says, because we're afraid, on Yom Tov people eat and drink and they'll make merry, and they'll eat up all the food, they'll drink up all the wine, they'll be left with nothing for Shabbos. So we are afraid that they'll forget about Shabbos. Zochos Yom Shabbos L'Kachos Zachreihu Me'acher Shebola Hashkicho. You have to remember Shabbos, shouldn't forget about Shabbos, shouldn't eat everything up. So if you start preparing the food on Erev Yom Tov for Shabbos, start cooking some of the food, so this will remind us that we shouldn't eat up all the food on Yom Tov. We should leave over something for Shabbos, leave over a significant amount of food to enjoy Shabbos as well. The other opinion, the Gemara said, what's that? This he's going to eat so much, he's going to get so shikri, he's going to eat and drink everything on the other, he's going to forget about Shabbos. No, that's not the idea behind the Erev Tavshilin. The idea of the Takanas Chachamim is we want to be mechazik the din of Melocha on Yontif, because we know that on Yontif we are mekel, you're permitted to cook food, you're permitted to carry food, you're permitted to carry a talis to shul, people carry a matzah to shul. We have so many hetterim avayich on nefesh and tzarach yam ksas. A lot of people are mezalzel on Yontif. Some of the people may make a mistake and think that they're permitted to cook on Yontif for weekdays. So we want to be mechazik b'yisim melocha on Yontif, because you have so many hetterim avayich on nefesh and tzarach yam ksas. So the Chachamim insisted, you're not allowed to cook even on Yontif. Minatar, you're allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, either for one reason or the other. But the Rabbanan, they said, you're not permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos unless you made an Erev Tavshilin in advance. So to ingrain in everyone's mind that kavachayim miyantiv lachol, that you're not allowed to cook. People shouldn't forget that the yisim malocha still applies on yantiv. You're not allowed to leave your pockets full on yantiv and walk around in the street. You're only permitted to carry to the extent that you need it. You need a talis, you're allowed to carry a talis. You need some dishes in the sukkah, you need some food, you're having a picnic in the park. They want to bring the food to the park. But whatever you don't need, you're not permitted to do a malocha. So the idea behind the Erev Tavshilin was to be mechazik the awareness of the yisim malacha on Yontif. People shouldn't forget that you're not even allowed to do a malacha on Yontif for Shabbos without an Erev Tavshil. Kavuchamim yontif l'chok. So we had the Gemara doesn't really say there are any differences halacha l'maisa between these two explanations. What's the difference? Whether the reason for the takanas chachamim of Erev Tavshilin was in order not to forget Shabbos, in order that you shouldn't eat up all the food on Yontif, you should leave something over for Shabbos, or the idea behind Erev Tavshilin was to remind everyone of to be mechazik the Yisra Malach on Yontif. Everyone should remember you're not permitted even to do Malach on Yontif for Shabbos, Kol Lachem of Yontif Lachol. So the Gemara doesn't really come up with any difference halacha l'maaseh, but the Rosh had a fantastic chiddush over there. The Rosh raises a question. On Erev Yontif, people are always fayokt, everybody's busy, and you just make it by the skin of your teeth the last minute. So let's say people are afraid they'll forget to make an Erev Tavshilin, they'll be in trouble. So let's go home tonight and let's make an Erev Tavshilin tonight. We'll make a hard-boiled egg, we'll get a matzah, and shine, we'll put it up. So l'chatchila should really be cooked and baked on Erev Yontif, l'shem Erev Tavshilin. No, but b'riyeved, it's good even if it's not. So it's better to have b'riyeved than to forget. So let's say someone wants to make an Erev Tavshilin tonight. Is that legitimate? Is that acceptable? So the Rosh writes an original Chiddush. He says he thinks it depends on these two opinions in the Gemara. If one should assume that the idea behind Erev Tavshilin, the motivation for the Takanas Chacham of Erev Tavshilin, is to remind people that Shabbos is coming, don't eat up all the food. So then he says you have to make the Erev Tavshilin Dafka on Erev Yontif. If you make it a day before, Tegnish. And let's say Sukkah sometimes. We have 2 days Sukkah, Thursday and Friday, then you have Shabbos, and then you have the second day Sukkot also. So you need Erev Tavshilin for Pesach, you never have it, because only 4 days Chalamayim. But Sukkot you can have. You have 5 days Chalamayim, you have 2 days Yontif. So if you need an Erev Tavshilin both for the first days of Sukkot and the second days of Sukkot, can you kill two birds with one stone? Can you make one Erev Tavshilin in the beginning, on Erev Yontif, and that'll be sufficient for the first day's Yontif and for the second day's Yontif? So the Rosh says it depends on this Shaila in the Gemara. If you hold that the reason for the motivation of the Chachamim to make the Takana of Erev Tavshilin is in order that you should remember not to eat up all the food on Yontif, so the Erev Tavshilin has to be made mamish on Erev Yontif. You make it a week before, and Erev, the other Yontif, Tegnish. Or sometimes you're going to need an Erev Tavshilin on Pesach and on Shavuos and on Sukkot, so you make an Erev Tavshilin before Pesach, and that's going to last for. So the Rosh says no good, you have to make an Erev Tavshilin mamish on Erev Yontif. But if you hold from the other reason in the Gemara, but it's not in order to remind people that they shouldn't eat up all the food. It's a takanas chachamim that you should remember that you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif for chol. You're not even allowed to do malacha on Yontif for Shabbos unless you made an Erev Tavshilin. So that you can make the Erev Tavshilin tonight. You can make the Erev Tavshilin a month before Yontif also. So the Rosh had this original chiddush that there may be a difference halacha l'maisa between these two reasons in the Gemara. I have to say that I think that more than the other participants, I can't really say it's a Talmud-Rebbe relationship. I always feel that it's like a chavrusa, a big chavrusa, and everybody works everything out together. I think I got more out of the chavrusa than the other participants did. The people, the chabura, We worked out a lot of things that we would not have, that I would not have been able to work out on my own. And people said all the things from Rav Soloveitchik, from Rishonim, from Akron. Everyone always gives some major contribution. It's very rare for me to make a siyum on any mesichta. So I thank you for your insistence, your perseverance, that we kept on going every week, daf achadaf, and we made a siyum. This coming Sunday is a Chag HaSmicha in the yeshiva. And one of my sons-in-law, who's still a Talmud now in the yeshiva, is celebrating on this occasion. He's also getting smicha now. And he's going to make a siyum on Shas, which I would never zeichet to make. He's going to make a siyum on Shas on Sunday. So I thank you for helping me make this siyum. Maybe someday when I'll grow up, I'll also be zeichet to make a siyum on Shas. So far I wasn't zeichet. And as we said in the Tefillah and the Hadron, Yehiratzen, that we should be zeichet to begin and to be Messiah many more mesichtes and many more svarim, and the schus of all of the Tanoim and the Amoraim and the Talmid Chachamim, whose opinions we discussed in the course of all of the years, should stand by us, that we should all be zeichet to have nachas from all of our children, our grandchildren, and Klal Yisrael should have a Yeshua in this difficult time. Thank you very much.
We have something besides the remembrance of tonight's affair. We have something physical that the rabbi and the Rebbetzin, I hope the Rebbetzin to be here tonight, but she has another simcha. So, get up now. Big bottle. No. Okay. More guests. We need more guests coming in. Something unique and something you can use in Pesach.
Very beautiful. Thank you very much.
This is due to participants and Machzikei Torah that I mentioned before, who help us presented to the rabbi. I should have many, many years to use it.
Thank you. I'm sure Shoshana will appreciate it much better. My wife has a much better. She has a much better chush for this. Thank you. Thank you for the learning more.
Together. Yeah. I think we're ready for benching.
Sure. We want to close up, right? You want me to sing a benching? Can I say something?
Rav Ozai, don't worry, I'm not going to sing again. Dr. Landsman is our MC. Initially, in his opening remarks, thanked a lot of people who were helpful during the shiur, during the year, etc. But for obvious reasons, there's one person he didn't thank. And so, with your permission, I'd like to thank Dr. Landsman for all his efforts for tonight and during the year.